As globalism transitions from global to local, we become vocal local, blocking the globalist agenda right where we are, in our towns, cities, counties, and states. And now, here is that nemesis of globalism, your host, William Roberts.
Well, the sun is rising over Missouri, folks, and it's time once again for a Show Me Showdown. We got breakfast on the table all across America, coffee brewing on the stove, and there's still a revolution in the air. You can be a part of it, and welcome to our Monday, Moon Day, December the 27th, 2010, two-hour broadcast of Become Vocal Local. Coming at you live Monday through Friday right here on the Oracle Broadcasting Network, oraclebroadcasting.com. My name is William Roberts. Always good news, lots of that. Hard facts and workable solutions for you each and every day. If you can't remember the last time you experienced the pursuit of happiness, you are definitely not alone, but you're in the right place at the right time to become vocal local. This is the home of philosophical radicalism, where freedom is popular and remains the best hope for America. Interactive Talk Radio is the name of the game, and to be part of today's broadcast, you can log on and bookmark becomevocallocal.com to engage in our chat room discussion, or you can pick up the telephone, call throughout the broadcast for those with unlimited long-distance access. Or in the Austin, Texas area, you may call in area code 512-904-8014 to join me live on air. And from around America and around the world, you can call in toll-free at 866-841-1065. Your calls are certainly welcome. You may also send your ideas for guests, show topics, and news to me via email at bvlhost@centurytel.net. bvlhost@centurytel.net. For those without internet access, listening to any of our affiliate stations and micro broadcasters, you too can be a part of it. Simply send your letters to me at William Roberts, Post Office, Box 96, out of Exeter, Missouri, 65647. Again, that's P.O. Box 96, Exeter Mo, the big Mo to me, 65647 to you. Once again, a big shout out to Liberty Radio out of Owensville, Missouri, Micro 1650 AM, Buffalo, New York, 94.3 Elgin, Texas, 1610 AM, Lompoc, California, and AM 1710. Liberty Radio out of Minneapolis and Jordan, Minnesota. Thank you, gentlemen, for broadcasting. Become vocal, local to your local listening audiences. You can also follow us on the TalkStreamLive.com website. The listener call-in number remains 866-841-1065. Your calls are certainly welcome. Again, you can jump into becomevocallocal.com to engage in our chat room discussion. All of my contact information can be found there. And all of these broadcasts are carefully and conveniently archived for your use at oraclebroadcasting.com. Oraclebroadcasting.com. Precious metals this morning, range bound during the holiday weeks. We'll talk about that. Miscegenation, nation, racial adulteration, new American norm, says the U.S. Census Department. Interstate commerce, Gustavus Myers, America's true founding fathers. You know, we'll look into all of that. Of course, we'll take your calls and much, much more. Let's go to our market report for this morning. Again, Monday, December the 27th, 2010. Active trading out of New York City as of 9 o'clock a.m. Eastern Daylight Time. Found gold off $1.10. Trading at $1,383.30 an ounce. Again, it's $1,383.30. In gold, silver off 2 cents at $29.20, still hanging on to that $29 peg like that. Platinum up 14 bucks at $1,727 a troy ounce, and palladium up a 5 spot at $756 an ounce. The lows and the highs in the gold spot market, $1,383.20 for a low, $1,384.20 for a high, a buck difference. Wow, pretty tight there at that range. Anyway, that can't possibly be right. But at $1,383.30, your gold is up $296.20 year to year for a 27.24% return on your investment. The London Gold Fix this morning, the boys in London set the price of gold at $1,380.50. Don't understand that? Go out and visit with them on their website, the London Bullion Market Association, LBMA.org, I think it is. It might be a .com. SPDR gold shares this morning, they show unchanged from Friday at 1,284.97 metric tons in their electronic treasure chest, valued at these bullion prices on State Street at $56.7 billion. Well, got much more to come. Stay tuned right after this first intermission.
I'm here talking with Don Wiskin of HeartDrop.com. I understand that you changed the name of your product, Don.
Yes, we did. It's now Extendivite, meaning to extend your life.
Wow, extend your life. Everybody wants to extend their life. How's it made, Don?
Well, Extendivite is made from herbs gathered from many different parts of the world. We chose 7 of the heart and health-related herbs known to improve your health.
Your heart drops have always kept me from feeling sick or run down, Don. Will Extendivite continue to do the same thing for me?
Yes, it will. All we changed was the name. I'm here because at 42, I had a heart attack and the garlic cayenne drops gave me back my life.
We have been talking with Don Wiskin about his exciting new product called Extendivite. To get your Extendivite, call 1-877-928-8822. That's 1-877-928-8822. Or visit his website at heartdrop.com. That's HEARTDROP.com.
TeamSpeak.cc is proud to announce that TeamSpeak 3 is now available. TeamSpeak is now more flexible, powerful, and scalable. TeamSpeak software enables people to speak with one another and transfer files over the internet. TeamSpeak represents years of engineering experience and is available for Windows, Mac, and Linux. TeamSpeak.cc has the best integrated solutions for online gamers, virtual worlds, social networks, education, and any environment where up to thousands of users require crystal clear voice communications. Users can finally say goodbye to echo, feedback, and background buzzing noises, as the evolution in quality voice communication has arrived. Go to TeamSpeak.cc to find out more. Servers now available and starting at just $2 a month. Remember, that website is TeamSpeak.cc, your total voice-over IP solutions provider. TeamSpeak.cc.
Heirloom Organics non-hybrid seeds are the long-term survival food solution. Heirloom Organics is the largest provider of 100% non-hybrid seeds prepared for long-term storage. Starting at just $99, the complete survival seed vault contains a one-year food garden for 2 people. The family, homestead, and farm packs provide for up to 12 people. Go to GetSeedsNow.com. Learn how you can protect your family and community by providing everlasting food supply from your own non-hybrid seeds at GetSeedsNow.com. Or call 877-980-SEED. Remember, GetSeedsNow.com. Or call 877-980-SEED. Remember, GetSeedsNow.com. To see our extensive line of specialty seed packs, which include kitchen herbs, medicinal herbs, herbal tea, fruit, tomato, chili peppers, and many others, go to GetSeedsNow.com. Or call 877-980-SEED. Remember, GetSeedsNow.com.
This is Become Vocal Local with your host, William Roberts.
And welcome back to our Monday, Moonday, December the 27th, 2010, two-hour broadcast of Become Vocal Local. Coming at you live Monday through Friday right here on the Oracle Broadcasting Network, oraclebroadcasting.com. Getting in to close out our market report, reviewing once again as of 9 o'clock a.m. Eastern Daylight Time. Out of New York City, finding gold trading off $1.10 an ounce at $1,383.30. Silver off 2 cents at $29.20, platinum up $14 at $17.27, and palladium starting out the week up $5 at $756 an ounce. The lows and the highs in the gold spot market, maybe not. But anyway, at $1,383.30, your gold is up $296.20 an ounce for a 27.24% return on your investment. The Dow Jones Industrial Average on Friday closed up 14 at 11,573.50. The NASDAQ closed off 6 at 2,666. And the S&P 500, Standard & Poor's, oh so very poor's, 500 index, down 2 at 12.57. Crude oil this morning off 56 cents a gallon, or 56 cents a barrel. Come on, Willie. Come on, buddy. 42-gallon barrels at $90.95 a barrel. The U.S. dollar index off 7 basis points at 80.40. The Forex this morning, the Canadian loonie off of 0.01, almost nothing, at 99 cents U.S. The Mexican peso up 23 basis points at 8 cents U.S. The euro up 23 as well at $1.32. The British pound off 8 basis points at $1.54. And the Swiss franc exchanging against the U.S. dollar up 9 basis points at $1.04. Big news in the bond market this morning. The two-year, the yield on the two-year treasuries, the U.S. bonded indebtedness, new high here this morning, 0.69%, as the Federal Reserve pay themselves more and more interest for buying the U.S. debt, apparently. The 10-year yield is 3.39, the 30-year at 4.47. In the mortgage market this morning, the 15-year mortgage moves up from 3.92%. These are the fixed-rate mortgages, moving up from 3.92 a month ago to 4.29 this morning. And the 30-year moves up from 4.55 to 4.97. Will we start the new year at 5% interest? Very likely. Prime rate this morning, 3.25%, and your gold to silver ratio is 47.37 ounces of silver buys you 1 ounce of gold. In the market, Econo Day this morning shows that there's not much happening today. A 4-week bill announcement, a 3-month bill auction, a 6-month bill auction, and a 2-year note auction. So they're auctioning off all of our debt right there. Tomorrow we're going to look at the, we'll have the Goldman Store sales out, the Red Book will be out, Case-Shiller Home Price Index will be out, Consumer Confidence, and so much more. So this week's looking pretty sparky. For our Thursday will be the big day, lots of stuff going on out there, jobless claims, spending, home sales, and so on and so forth. Let's go over here and jump into the news basket. The United Nations halts aid after a female suicide bomber kills 46 in Pakistan. She knows how to do it. By Anwar Shakir, December the 27th, a female suicide bomber carries out a Christmas Day attack in northwest Pakistan that killed 46 people, a local official said, as the UN Food Agency caught up in the blast closed centers that had fed 41,000 families. Look out. The burqa-clad woman. God. We got a war on burqas. It's coming up. I've watched this. The burqa-clad woman, aged between 18 and 22, there wasn't much left, they're guessing, lobbed grenades and detonated an explosive vest near a World Food Program distribution center after being stopped by security personnel. Well, if they stopped her, you'd check her out. Anyway, Musta Queen Khan, a government official in the tribal region of Bajar, said by phone today at least 96 people were injured in what Dawn newspaper said was Pakistan's first suicide bombing known to have been carried out by a woman. Wow, equal rights, boys, coming at you in a town near you. The device was detonated about 8:30 a.m. local time on December the 25th. As officials were handing out food to victims of this year's flood. The Gul Raymond, a spokesman for the government of that area, Khan said officials had collected body parts of the female attacker who had attempted to join a line of men queuing for aid. Watch out when you get in those food lines, folks. Prime Minister Yousaf Raza Gilani condemned the attack and said his government's fight against militants will continue to their complete elimination. That's right. They're going to try and exterminate the militants. Wow. No wonder this woman blew the hell out of herself. According to an emailed statement issued by the Information Ministry in the capital, Islamabad, operations at 4 WFP centers, that'd be the World Food Program, World Food Program centers in the region will likely restart this week once security improves. Program spokesman Amjad Jamal said by phone from Islamabad the death toll eclipsed the 43 people killed on December the 6th in a suicide bombing outside a government office in the northwest tribal region of Momond. Yeah. 4 days later, 25 people died in a similar attack in the town of Hangut. Outrageous attack. Barry the usurper condemned what he called the outrageous attack in Bajor, killing innocent civilians outside of World Food. It's kind of curious, you know, in the roll-up between Jorge Bush and Barry the usurper, the Israelis were blowing the hell out of the people in Gaza Strip, kind of like shooting fish in a bowl. But he didn't come out and call that an outrageous attack, but this is certainly an outrageous attack. Killing innocent civilians outside of a World Food Program distribution point is an affront to the people of Pakistan and to all of humanity. Of course, killing innocent people and civilians inside of the Gaza Strip is just regular fare, right? Firebombing the people on the road to Baghdad, that's just standard operating procedure for America. killing 1.6 million Iraqi people for no damn good reason. That's just, you know, that's not an affront to humanity, is it? No, not at all. United Nations Secretary General Ban Ki-moon condemned an abhorrent act of terrorism aimed at innocent people, but he doesn't condemn Israel for much. Pakistani's government blames the Taliban militants based in the country's tribal region for terrorist attack in the country. The army last year began offensives in the Taliban stronghold of South Waziristan. So once again, you know, it's just depends on who strikes whom first, right? After a similar operation against guerrillas in the Swat Valley, it's kind of tough to step into the middle of a confrontation and start casting blame and aspersions on one another. We need to know who struck who first. At the same time, the U.S. has increased missile strikes that target the Taliban along Pakistan's border with Afghanistan. Two such attacks launched from drone aircraft today killed 18 alleged militants. I wonder how many of those were innocent women and children, civilians. In the region of North Waziristan, Associated Press reports, citing Pakistani intelligence officials it didn't name. No intelligence there. Pakistan's government is struggling to rehabilitate 17 million people who lost homes and livelihoods during floods in August. The deluge threatened to cripple Pakistan's economy with a surge in unemployment, an increase in inflation, and damage to billions of dollars in infrastructure, Gilani said. Well, there's that story. Be right back.
Ever wish that you could listen to Oracle Broadcasting away from your computer? Now you can with Oracle Broadcasting's new Listen by Phone feature. This free service turns any phone into an Oracle Broadcasting receiver. Simply call 704-772-7627. At the prompt, press the Oracle station code 10007. That's 704-772-7627, then 10007. Normal long distance and cell phone rates apply. Stay connected with OracleBroadcasting.com.
Imagine no longer being tied down to your computer, but having the freedom to take live talk radio with you anywhere you go. TalkStream Live introduces our first ever iPhone application. The talk shows you follow now follow you, and your iPhone is now the fastest and easiest way to stay connected to the best talk radio on the internet. Let TalkStream Live transform the way you listen to radio. Listen to live talk shows 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. Mobile talk radio from TalkStream Live, now available in the iTunes App Store.
We all know that Berkey Water Purification Systems are the most trusted name in water filtration. As an authorized Berkey dealer for over 5 years and serving thousands of satisfied customers, the Berkey guy offers amazing specials for Berkey Water Filtration Systems. The Berkey Light Systems include a set of self-sterilizing and recleanable black purification elements that purify water by removing chlorine, pathogenic bacteria, cysts, and parasites to non-detectable levels and remove harmful chemicals such as herbicides and pesticides. Order the Berkey Light System today, complete with two black Berkey elements for only $209, and the Berkey guy will include three Sport Berkey water bottles and ship everything to you free of charge. That's right, three Sport Berkey water bottles and free shipping, an $87 value, yours free. Call the Berkey guy at 1-877-886-3653. That's 1-877-886-3653. Or order online at goberkey.com. That's goberkey.com today.
Of the 3 million plus edible food plants that grow on Earth, no other single plant can compare with the nutritional value of the powder, seeds, and oil of the hemp plant. At HempUSA.org, we ship worldwide these nutritional products with free shipping to the U.S. and Canada. At HempUSA.org, we want to educate our listeners that edible hemp is not marijuana and is certified THC-free. Our powder is 50% protein and does not contain gluten. Gluten impairs the cells from absorbing nutrients. This nutrient-dense food can be stored up to 5 years when vacuum-packed and is priced affordably to be used as a storable food. HempUSA.org is a bulk shipper starting with 5 pounds and up. To allow this food to work for you, call 908-691-2608 or go to HempUSA.org and order today. The body will react and heal itself given the proper nutrition. This superfood will be your greatest asset. So try it today, store it today, and change your life. Call 908-691-2608 or order from HempUSA.org.
Hi, this is Mike Chambers. Join me live weekdays for Mike Chambers Live from 11 to 3 p.m. Central Time here on the Oracle Broadcasting Network.
So just in case any of you thought you were living in Pakistan, Homeland Security coming to hotels and malls near you, the United States is stepping up security at soft targets like hotels and shopping malls, as well as trains and ports, as it counters the evolving Al-Qaeda threat. A top official said Sunday, unnamed, however, this off of Raw Story. A year after a foiled plot to bomb a U.S.-bound passenger plane, Homeland Security Secretary Janet Napolitano told the CNN State of the Union program that other places and modes of transportation must now be scrutinized. We look at the so-called soft targets, the hotels, shopping malls, public restrooms, McDonald's, you know, that kind of place, soft targets. It's not to be confused with Hot Pockets, that's different. You'll find those in the freezer aisle in your local grocery store. But we look at so-called soft targets, the hotels, the shopping malls, for example, all of which we have reached out to in the past and have done a fair amount of training for their own employees, no doubt. No doubt. Since an attempted bombing on a packed Saturday night in Times Square in May, New York, for example, has installed hundreds of security cameras as part of a plan to triple the number of cameras to 3,000. Of course, the cameras don't ever seem to be effective at stopping anything. They just kind of record where you might be able to look for body parts, I suppose. In September, the city activated some 500 new surveillance cameras at its three busiest subway stations, in the Square, Times Square, Penn Station, and Grand Central. The overall message, anyway, this article just goes on and on, but it's too huge to get in the small window that I have open for it, so let's go over here and open it up. All right. The overall message is everything is objectively better than it was a year ago. Objectively better. Particularly in the aviation environment, but we're also looking at addressing other areas, Napolitano said. Boy, that woman just makes me want to puke. Anyway, that's enough of that. I'm not going to go any further with it. Here's another one. Oil rise to $100 may stall as refiners curb tax liability. This is an article by Margaret Haybibby. Off the Bloomberg. Oil supplies may come back to the U.S. Gulf Coast in January, sapping crude's drive towards $100 a barrel oil. What do you mean oil supplies may come back to the U.S. Gulf Coast? Well, let's find out. Supplies in states along the Gulf of Mexico, home to more than half of the U.S. stockpiles, have fallen 9.2% this month to 167.3 million barrels, data from the Energy Department in Washington show. Oil settled at a two-year high of $91.51 a barrel on December the 23rd, bringing this year's gain to 15%. Quote, I wouldn't suspect plus $90 is sustainable past the middle of January, because I think we're going to see some stock builds. Some stock builds, they start stocking up. But what are they doing right now? Well, they've just been selling down their resources with all this high-priced oil. It's LIFO, last in, first out. They want to get rid of all this high-priced oil and come into the January 1st period with lower stockpiles. And so that's what they've been doing, and it's going to continue. But don't expect any relief at the gas pump anytime soon. Saudi forces kill a man dressed in woman's clothes at a checkpoint. I'm telling you, these burqas, they're in the news. Wow. Glenn Carey writing this for Bloomberg. Saudi Arabian forces shot and killed a man dressed in women's clothing. I guess Rudy Giuliani better take note. Saudi Arabian forces shot and killed a man dressed in women's clothing. Cross-dressing, transvestite, transsexuals, look out. Yesterday, at a security checkpoint in the Wadi al-Dawasir province, south of the kingdom's capital, Riyadh, the official Saudi press agency reported the disguised man stepped from the car and shot at the police. The Riyadh-based news service reported, citing an unidentified official at the Interior Ministry, they arrested another passenger, they don't tell us how he or she was dressed, in the car, and none of the police were injured. suspected it helps to get your AR-14 out of the burqa before you start squeezing the trigger. Anyway, suspected militants have worn abayas, black robes that cover a woman's entire body, and headscarves. Look out, headscarves, banned now in France, I believe, to evade police detection in the kingdom. In October of 2009, authorities shot dead two suspected Al-Qaeda terrorists who had vests packed with explosives underneath women's clothing. These people are really going over the top, aren't they? Yeah, let's go to another article. Cross-dressing Saudis, that's kind of Arabs in a sandstorm. SunPower sees solar market consolidating on a cost crunch. Careful about this energy market. Nicholas Comfort writing this for Bloomberg. The market for solar power equipment will consolidate as only those companies that can reduce their operating costs will survive. So as we continue with our studies out of Gustavus Meyer's The Great American Fortunes, we're going to find that this is an old school trick. All right, what they're doing here is through the process of mergers and acquisition, the big boys are driving out all the small boys. All right, if you ain't big enough to play in their game, you ain't going to stay in the business. Companies that cover all the steps in the production of solar panels can cut expenses more than those specializing on individual components. So, you know, you've got things like AC Delco, and these guys make the generators, and these guys make the the regulators, and these guys make the distributors and the coils and all of that. And these guys over here make the tires, but when it all comes under the umbrella, and when it all gets into that y'all come deal, and the monopoly really starts to take shape, then you see we get into the situation we are in right now where we have to own the automobile company in order to produce an automobile. India paid at least $10 million in solar lighting subsidies this year. Yes, sustainable. Sustainable if you have enough money to sustain it, of course. Robbing Peter to pay Paul to support Don Quixote's windmills and the solar panels. Natalie Obkiko Pearson writing for Bloomberg. India paid at least 459 million rupees, or $10 million, in subsidies to help rural homes and villages install solar-powered lights in 2010. That's right. $10 million, where did they buy? Well, a government program promoting the use of lights powered by photovoltaic cells installed 78,408 portable lanterns. Portable lanterns. Solar-powered portable lantern. They put in 78,408 solar-powered portable lanterns. Wouldn't you like to have that contract? And 108,599 home lighting systems. The Ministry of Renewable Energy said in a statement today, the ministry provided a subsidy of 2,400 rupees for each solar lantern. Wow. Coleman could do a knockdown business in India, which typically runs off of batteries. Ah. I guess that answers it, doesn't it? That's right. All right. They provided a subsidy of 2,400 rupees for each solar lantern, which typically runs off batteries. Wonder how much extra they had to pay to get the batteries. Batteries not included, right? And anywhere from 2,500 rupees to 8,660 rupees for each home lighting system, depending on the model installed and the type of user, it said. Wonder what kind of batteries come with each home lighting system. You can either get the stripped-down version, you can get the solar lantern that sits in the middle of the room, or you can get the home lighting system, which would have what? I don't know. A detachable array of LED lights. The Maori people in India access electricity, more people in India lack access to electricity than any other nation, according to the International Energy Agency. The government is promoting standalone renewable energy projects, including 2,000 megawatts of decentralized solar plants by 2022. To help plug the gap in its electricity grid, detached, decentralized solar plants. I guess that would be solar lanterns, solar crank-up radios, solar rechargeable laptop batteries. Wow, $2 billion a year market. We'll be back.
Information? You found it. This is OracleBroadcasting.com.
Corporate media dominates the American opinion. Finding independent voices that counter this avalanche is becoming increasingly difficult. With the endless corruption running rampant throughout our government, independent voices are needed more than ever to battle the offenses against our freedoms and liberties. No one understands this concept better than you. Now it's up to you to do your part. The time has come for you to take action and begin broadcasting the truth to hundreds or thousands of people every month. Sound impossible? Quite the contrary. With pointed slogans from LibertyStickers.com, you can reach countless sleeping Americans unaware that they live in a real-life wonderland. LibertyStickers.com has a huge inventory of political bumper stickers and messages that reflect the truth about our government, our politicians, and the future of America. With so many in stock, there's one perfect for you. Visit us today at LibertyStickers.com. Again, that's LibertyStickers.com. Do your part. Your voice is important. Let it be heard.
A wealthy U.S. citizen is predicting that in 2011, we will witness the most important day in America in more than 50 years. He says it will change everything about our lives. The way you shop, travel, invest, educate your children, and even how you take care of your health and your family. You see, he predicted the collapse of GM, Fannie Mae, Freddie Mac, and America's biggest mall owner, General Growth Properties, a few years ago. In fact, Moronis called his work a dire prophecy. And it's a real eye-opener. I can't stress this enough. You should at least watch this free video online today. He explains everything you need to know, including simple steps you can take to protect yourself. You can find the video at www.endofamerica10.com. Although this video may be offensive to some audiences, it's worth checking out. Again, that's www.endofamerica10.com.
The Oracle Broadcasting Radio Network is on a mission to bring you the best in cutting-edge talk radio. Oracle Broadcasting is a true beacon of free speech, uncensored news, and relevant information that depends on the support of listeners just like you. You can help us expand our reach and inform the masses. Promote the network by clicking the Socialize link on the left-hand side of the OracleBroadcasting.com website. Using the simple tools provided, it is easy to spread the word about Oracle Broadcasting on social networking websites, blogs, news feeds, and many other ways with just one click. You can also help by becoming an Oracle Broadcasting member today. For just $5 a month, you get access to the member stream that allows you to listen to all of the great shows from Oracle Broadcasting in 128K stereo CD audio quality. To find out more, go to OracleBroadcasting.com. And thank you for listening to the Oracle Broadcasting Radio Network.
This is Become Vocal Local with your host, William Roberts.
Oh, yeah, the snowstorm blankets the U.S. to East Coast, folks, and it disrupts travel and Christmas shopping. Whew, big news here. U.S. East Coast faces a second day of travel disruption. Hey, excuse me, wasn't that? I thought we, didn't we switch over from climate change, man-made global warming to climate change and then climate disruption? So I guess we have climate disruption going on in the East Coast. U.S. East Coast faces a second day of climate disruption after snowstorms blanketed cities from New York to Boston, closing airports and halting trains with waist-high drifts and blinding winds. It's kind of the sort of thing that happens in the wintertime, isn't it? New York City may have as much as 18 to 20 inches of snow. They might not, too. On the ground as of 7 a.m. as the storm's center shifts north and east, commercial forecaster AccuWeather said. Snowfall in the city eased by daybreak. Almost 3,000 flights were canceled in the region. Give the TSA a day off, I guess. JFK International Airport and LaGuardia Airport were due to reopen by 4 o'clock p.m. and 2 o'clock p.m. local time, respectively, the Federal Aviation Administration said on its website. The storm is going to trend to the north and the east, and Boston's going to get heavy snow this morning. Robert Richards, a meteorologist at State College, said, anyway, the blizzard left 10.4 inches of snow at JFK Airport yesterday, which is the most for a single day since the late 1940s, he said. Global warming? Al Gore, give back that Nobel Prize. The day after Christmas is one of the five... The day after Christmas is one of the five busiest shopping days of the year, and it may take retailers 2 weeks to capture sales lost. That's right. the merchants of Venice rubbing their greasy little palms, according to Marshall Cohen. Yeah, he's an Irish meteorologist, right? Chief industry analyst at MPD Group, a research firm based in Port Washington, New York. Marshall Cohen. That's C-O-H-E-N, by the way. That's kind of like the Cohen name. Anyway, blizzard warnings. The National Weather Service issued blizzard warnings for New York, Boston, and cities along the coast of Maine. Wind gusts as much as 60 miles an hour were expected, New York AccuWeather said. We ought to just stay home. Wouldn't that be fine? Amtrak resumed limited operations between New York and Boston. Boy, what a story this is. New York and Boston. Wow. Get into the Vanderbilts and the Astors here. Start talking about railroads. Go back into Gustavus Meyer's book and look at some of the graft and corruption that went on here. The Long Island Railroad, more graft and corruption behind this one, said its plans to operate on a holiday schedule today when it gets trains running again, according to a statement on the Metropolitan Transportation Authority website. Metropolitan Transportation Authority. Might as well just call that Bribe Central. And NJ Transit, another bribery hotbed, which transports about 170,000 commuters to and from New York City daily, suspended bus service as of 8:30 p.m. yesterday, according to a statement. Rail service will run a modified holiday schedule on all routes today except the Atlantic City run, which will operate on a weekday schedule. New York City will have 365 salt spreaders and 1,700, we can like to have the contract on that one, and 1,700 snow plows on the streets, and sanitation department employees will work 12-hour shifts. Boy, yeah, that's going to be good. It's going to have a good paychecks there. Consolidated Edison reported there were 6,233 customers in Queens, New York, and 1,622 in Westchester County without power. Should have those little solar lanterns. Maybe they could get a deal cut with the East Indians. Boston and its suburbs, you can get a bunch of rupees coming in. Foreign exchange market would bounce up a little bit. Boston and its suburbs may receive as much as 18 inches from the storm. Hey, folks, you know, turn up the heat a little bit. You know, chestnuts roasting on your open fire. Make some hot chocolate. Stay home. Climate lobby sandbag sells carbon permits as Christmas gifts. Sandbaggers. Yeah, that's right. This is right off the Bloomberg website. Catherine Ehrlich, writing this for Bloomberg. Sandberg, a climate lobby group, now listen, is offering people a way of supporting European Union's efforts to reduce carbon dioxide emission by canceling permits as a Christmas gift. Listen, novel, okay. The London-based group, obviously a nonprofit, Sandbag, climate lobby. The Sandbag group, the London-based group, bought European Union carbon permits from St. Helens and Nulsky NHS Trust, a group of hospitals in northern England that had a surplus. So the hospitals out there are generating surplus carbon credits. They're as good as a, you know, Vestas wind turbine, right? Don't do too good in the medical business, but they generate lots of carbon credits, and they had some surplus ones, so Sandberg is buying them up, and they're selling them to individuals or groups who have no need for them. Sounds like Christmas gifts, doesn't it? Anyway, the sandbaggers are selling them to individuals or groups who have no need of them, so that they can reduce the number of allowances traded in the market. Carbon destruction is the perfect last-minute eco-present. Michelle Buick, Sandbag's director, said in an emailed statement, Carbon destruction is the last perfect, is the perfect last-minute eco-present. Have you destroyed any carbon today yourselves? It's a direct action to reduce pollution in one of the smartest ways possible and a political call for change. They buy up carbon credits, can't get anybody else to buy them, and then they send them to people who don't have any need of them as gifts. Wow, I tell you. UN carbon permit futures fell to their lowest in almost 5 months. They can't get rid of these things. Allowances for December of 2011 dropped as much as 1.3% to 13.9 euros. That would be $18.24 a metric ton. On the ICE Futures Europe Exchange in London, the lowest intraday price since July the 24th. They were at 14.03 euros as of 10:03 a.m., in case you wanted to know. maybe you wanted to get out there and buy some of these EU carbon permits that are going down in value and don't have any value at all, really. Sandbag didn't specify how many permits they held or how many tons of carbon dioxide had already been destroyed. How many tons of carbon dioxide had already been destroyed? These people are Fruit Loops, man. They have bought this thing hook, line, and sinker. They think that the little pieces of paper are carbon dioxide. And that they buy one of these little things, and then they don't use it, and it destroys carbon dioxide someplace. Wow. Sandbag. Fruit Loops. BlackRock blames loan crisis for clean energy outflow. Ben Sills, writing this for Bloomberg, renewable energy funds suffered record outflows this year. In other words, people are getting out of this one. You can see the writing on the wall here. You're going to go in flooding into gold and silver coins, getting out of renewable energy. Anyway, as money managers, including BlackRock Inc., notice, you know, if you dig into BlackRock a little bit, you'll find the Rothschilds behind that BlackRock, said the credit crunch dimmed the outlook for solar and wind power projects. Dimming the outlook for solar and wind power projects. Credit crunch. Investors pulled 931 million euros, or 1.2 billion, in the first 10 months, already eclipsing the full year withdrawal in 2008 when the global financial crisis spooked investors, according to data compiled by Lipper Inc. Last year, clean energy funds captured 1.3 billion euros of new monies. We're going to find out in this article. Lipper is a trade product of Reuters. And these guys, Lipper Inc. here, they're in the carbon credit exchange business, all right? So it's no wonder we see all these carbon market articles in the news. It's no wonder we see all of this talk about sustainable development and whatnot. They're in the background buying and selling and trading carbon credits. Even Sandbag probably gets them from Lipper. Anyway, tighter loan terms for clean energy power projects, greater competition from Chinese manufacturers, and reduced subsidies from European governments hammered some of the stocks that have been favorites of fund managers, such as Vesta Wind Systems, the world's largest turbine maker. Funds that held oil and gas companies were gainers, a separate survey said. So people are still in the petroleum products, but they're getting out of the new energy market. The new energy market and related stocks were significantly impacted by the credit crisis. Robin Batchelor, the manager of $2.9 billion BlackRock New Energy Fund, said in an email, reduced demand for energy and the fact that governments perceived to have many new worries on their agenda combined to create a difficult environment. Right? So as we get in deal with the real things in the world, all of this nonsense about climate change just kind of goes up in steam. Conventional energy stocks saw the biggest increase in holdings and were the largest bets for funds, according to a Bank of America. Find out who owns the major shares of stocks there. It'd be Barclays, State Street, Global Advisors, Merrill Lynch. Survey of 209 money managers controlling $569 billion. Anybody take a look over the weekend at Corporation Nation, that 20-part series on YouTube? Just type it in. Go YouTube. Corporation Nation, get a big cup of coffee, and sit back and watch. Global governance, corporate governance, maybe being run by a school board near you. We'll be right back.
Hi, I'm here talking with Don Wiskin of HeartDrop.com. I understand that you changed the name of your product, Don.
Yes, we did. It's now Extendabyte, meaning to extend your life.
Wow, extend your life. Everybody wants to extend their life. How is it made, Don?
Well, Extendabyte is made from herbs gathered from many different parts of the world. We chose 7 of the heart and health-related herbs known to improve your health.
Your heart drops have always kept me from feeling sick or run down, Don. Will Extendabyte continue to do the same thing for me?
Yes, it will. All we changed was the name. I'm here because at 42, I had a heart attack and the garlic cayenne drops gave me back my life.
We have been talking with Don Wiskin about his exciting new product called Extendivite. To get your Extendivite, call 1-877-928-8822. That's 1-877-928-8822. Or visit his website at heartdrop.com. That's heartdrop.com.
TeamSpeak.cc is proud to announce that TeamSpeak 3 is now available. TeamSpeak is now more flexible, powerful, and scalable. TeamSpeak software enables people to speak with one another and transfer files over the internet. TeamSpeak represents years of engineering experience and is available for Windows, Mac, and Linux. TeamSpeak.cc has the best integrated solutions for online gamers, virtual worlds, social networks, education, and any environment where up to thousands of users require crystal clear voice communications. Users can finally say goodbye to echo, feedback, and background buzzing noises as the evolution in quality voice communication has arrived. Go to TeamSpeak.cc to find out more. Servers now available and starting at just $2 a month. Remember, that website is TeamSpeak.cc, your total voice-over IP solutions provider. TeamSpeak.cc.
Heirloom Organics non-hybrid seeds are the long-term survival food solution. Heirloom Organics is the largest provider of 100% non-hybrid seeds prepared for long-term storage. Starting at just $99, the complete survival seed vault contains a one-year food garden for two people. The family, homestead, and farm packs provide for up to 12 people. Go to GetSeedsNow.com. Learn how you can protect your family and community by providing everlasting food supply from your own non-hybrid seeds at GetSeedsNow.com. Or call 877-980-SEED. Remember, GetSeedsNow.com or call 877-980-SEED. Remember, GetSeedsNow.com. To see our extensive line of specialty seed packs, which include kitchen herbs, medicinal herbs, herbal tea, fruit, tomato, chili peppers, and many others, go to GetSeedsNow.com or call 877-980-SEED. Remember, GetSeedsNow.com.
My soul. Come explore the human stargate and what lies beyond. Walk the rebel path. Sundays.
And so here's the last article out of our news basket for this morning. This again off Bloomberg. Timothy Homan writing for Bloomberg, December the 23rd. A little older news, but important nonetheless. Ethnic makeup of U.S. increasingly diverse as mixed race parentage expands. All right, that's kind of a troubling topic. Trying to get myself in big trouble here. We're going to go with it anyway. The ethnic makeup of the world's largest economy will be increasingly diverse with more mixed-race Americans, according to the head of the U.S. Census Bureau. I mean, this is really a problem. This is really a problem. It's a problem not only for the country, but it's a problem for the families, and it's really a problem for the children. You know, it's one thing that man and a woman come together and they, you know, get frisky, and then they have you know, an offspring. But in all that friskiness, I wonder if they ever stop to think about the life that they're bringing to the world and whether that young woman will appreciate the careless and reckless nature of the parents' stake there. But this article continues this way. This is the decade of Tiger Woods and, they say, Barack Obama, where we talk about race combinations. That's a quotation there. This is the decade of Tiger Woods and Barack Obama, where we talk about race combinations. Robert Groves, the director of the federal agency, said about forthcoming 2010 census data in an interview on Bloomberg Television's, quote, Political Capital with Al Hunt, airing this weekend, quote, I can't wait to see the pattern of response on multiple races. That'll be a neat indicator to watch. All right? So fellow's name is Robert Groves, Bloomberg TV, Political Capital with Al Hunt. Quote again, I can't wait to see the pattern of responses on multiple races. That'll be a neat indicator to watch. Interesting point of view, I believe. The 2010 census was the second consecutive decennial count to allow residents to identify as more than one race. And Grove said it's likely that more respondents checked off multiple races. The nation's population grew 9.7% to 308,745,538 in 2010 from the previous decade, with the fastest gains coming in the South and the West. The agency said this week the release included only U.S. and state population figures, with more data on race, ethnicity, housing, and other variables provided in February and March for all levels of geography. You can find this article up on Bloomberg. Quote, we'll be taught something about our society, and that is new ethnic groups are going all over the country, close quote, Groves said. Quote, it's not just the coasts, and it's not just urban areas. Now, of course, if new ethnic groups are going all over the country, you know, well, that would be to be, you know, expected with the borders wide open as they are. But that really doesn't point to this idea of multiple race households, all right? The overall growth driven by an increase in Hispanic residents, all right? Now that doesn't necessarily indicate multiple race households, unless, perhaps, white men are marrying Hispanic women and Hispanic men are marrying white women or other races. But again, the overall growth driven by an increase in Hispanic residents was the weakest in seven decades, as the worst recession since the Great Depression stunted immigration. So they were hoping for more. In the United Nations Migration and Development Agenda that we've shared with you many times, they were hoping for more. They wanted more, and they didn't quite get what they wanted. But the West region, these states that came into the Union, sparsely settled, that's filling up in a way that we've never seen before. Of course, there was nothing sparsely settled about California or Oregon or Washington State. But these last that came into the Union, they're filling up in a way that we've never seen before. When the usurper was born in 1961 in Kenya, more than half the nation, or 54%, lived in the Midwest and the Northeast. Now, midway through his first term, 39% lived there, the census data show. We got 60% living elsewhere, out of the Midwest or the Northeast. Fresh inflow? States, including Texas, Florida, and Arizona, are witnessing a fresh inflow of people from within the U.S. and beyond the nation's borders, from within the U.S. So I guess people in the Midwest and the Northeast are moving to Florida in record numbers, or are they? Or are we just having an inflow from elsewhere, outside? Congressional seats are reapportioned every decade after completion of the census, with each district have roughly the same number of people, about 710,000 in the next decade. The Census Bureau will roll out in February and March detailed block-level data needed to redraw congressional districts. That information will be loaded into mapping software, and states will begin building their new districts over the following months. Now, you've got to ask yourself, at least I did, how many of these illegal aliens were included in the census, and how much redistrict is happening on account of the making accommodating the illegal alien presence in the United States? How much are they due representation, and should we and must we redistrict ourselves to accommodate this influx of the illegals that have poured across the southern border? A new look. The population counts mark the start of a new look at America from the census. The data will be used by government to distribute more than $400 billion in annual funding, by businesses. Now, wait a minute. I thought this information was confidential. Well, I guess it's not. It's going to be used by businesses to identify markets and by social scientists, your super social scientist, your super duper social scientist, to examine the changing demographics. Now, they could give $400 billion out, and some of this money, a lot of it probably, is going to go to businesses. Why? Well, so that they can identify markets. And to social scientists, that would be perhaps academia and the various and sundry nonprofits, to examine the change in demographics. I don't know why we need to give them money to do that, but I guess we're going to need money to do that. The business community can really profit from this small geographic detail. Well, I'd say they're going to profit. They're going to get portions of this $400 billion in federal funding. That would be in a direct positive right there. But the business community can really profit from this small geographic detail, Grove said. He said the agency's American Fact Finder can be used by small business owners to assemble data for the market area he or she is interested in attacking. Curious word there, always this war terminology. A market area that the small business might be interested in attacking to make good decisions about the what the market looks like. In the broader global context, Grove said that the slower pace of population growth in the U.S. is similar to Europe's and those of other advanced economies. Quote, it turns out it's happening in most developed societies around the world, close quote. It has to do with lower fertility rates. Of course, as Western Europe and America are overflown by the, what do they call them, kind of high winds that they have up there, but all this depleted uranium that we're dumping on Iraq, spreading all across Europe and into Western Europe and across the Great Britain, United Kingdom, and then into the United States, of course, that depleted uranium has a deleterious impact on fertility rates. So does soy and all of the rest of the food out there. But if they can get all of the people in the developed nations to eat this contaminated diet, yes, of course, you know, our fertility rates will drop and drop and drop. But it continues, it says, it turns out it's happening in the most developed societies around the world. It has to do with lower fertility rates. It also has to do with wide open borders, but they don't mention that here. The U.S. has the lowest median age of any group of seven nations, according to the United Nations estimates for 2010. Usefulness is one variable for future growth because younger people tend to have more children. Well, there is some truth to that. Interesting, isn't it? We'll continue with that right after this. We're going to look at the workers' struggle for better conditions and a little bit from Gustavus Myers. Then we'll touch base with the Interstate Commerce Act. We'll be right back.
Ever wish that you could listen to Oracle Broadcasting away from your computer? Now you can with Oracle Broadcasting's new Listen by Phone feature. This free service turns any phone into an Oracle Broadcasting receiver. Simply call 704-772-7627. At the prompt, press the Oracle station code 10007. That's 704-772-7627, then 10007. Normal long distance and cell phone rates apply. Stay connected with OracleBroadcasting.com.
Imagine no longer being tied down to your computer, but having the freedom to take live talk radio with you anywhere you go. TalkStream Live introduces our first ever iPhone application. The talk shows you follow now follow you, and your iPhone is now the fastest and easiest way to stay connected to the best talk radio on the internet. Let TalkStream Live transform the way you listen to radio. Listen to live talk shows 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. Mobile talk radio from TalkStream Live, now available in the iTunes App Store.
We all know that Berkey Water Purification Systems are the most trusted name in water filtration. As an authorized Berkey dealer for over 5 years and serving thousands of satisfied customers, the Berkey guy offers amazing specials for Berkey Water Filtration Systems. The Berkey Light Systems include a set of self-sterilizing and recleanable black purification elements that purify water by removing chlorine, pathogenic bacteria, cysts, and parasites to non-detectable levels and remove harmful chemicals such as herbicides and pesticides. Order the Berkey Light System today, complete with
with two black Berkey Elements for only $209, and the Berkey Guy will include three Sport Berkey water bottles and ship everything to you free of charge. That's right, three Sport Berkey water bottles and free shipping. An $87 value, yours free. Call the Berkey Guy at 1-877-886-3653. That's 1-877-886-3653. Or order online at GoBerkey.com. That's GoBerkey.com today.
The home of cutting-edge talk radio. Online, worldwide, at OracleBroadcasting.com.
As globalism transitions from global to local, we become vocal local, blocking the globalist agenda right where we are, in our towns, cities, counties, and states. And now, here is that nemesis of globalism, your host, William Roberts.
And welcome back to our Monday, December the 27th, 2010, two-hour broadcast of Become Vocal Local. Coming at you live Monday through Friday right here on the Oracle Broadcasting Network, oraclebroadcasting.com, in the first hour of today's two-hour broadcast. Went over some of the financial news and some variety, a little basket of news off the Bloomberg website. We're closing out on this article about how the ethnic makeup of the U.S. is increasingly diverse as mixed-race parentage expands. Of course, the argument here, or the discussion posed in this article, is about mixed-race parentage. But the article doesn't really discuss too much of this mixed-race parentage. It mostly just points to the overwhelming number of Hispanics that have flooded into the country in the last 10 years. One would have to ask, how many of these are actually residents, and how many of them are just illegal aliens? I don't know. It doesn't really talk about it. But it doesn't really point up to mixed-race marriages. I imagine there are some. But I can't understand why a Mexican or a Guadalajara, well, whatever, Guatemalan or somebody from South or Central America, why they would necessarily feel disposed to get involved in a mixed-race marriage. Probably just soon, you know, marry somebody from their own neighborhood. Maybe they came here with their spouse. I don't know how they're building this argument for this, to support this particular bit of work. But it is a problem. It is a problem. Because you lose the racial identity, I guess you'd say, of both of your parents, and you become kind of a third wheel, which will plague you for most of your life. A lot of people have a great deal of difficulty coming in and embracing that. They really don't know which group of friends to associate with, and oftentimes they're outcasted by both. Kind of a tough place. Might be all warm and fuzzy and real feely for the parents, but are we thinking about the young ones? I don't think so. I think we're thinking about other things entirely. I am. The workers struggle for better conditions. Again and again, workers attempted to throw off some of their shackles. And every time, the whole dominant force of society was arrayed against them. By 1825, visiting again with Gustavus Myers, by 1825, an agitation developed for a 10-hour workday. Can you imagine people agitating for a 10-hour workday? Well, we'll find out a little bit more about it. The politicians denounced the movement. The cultured classes frowned on it. The newspapers alternately ridiculed and abused it. The officials prepared to take summary action to put it down. As for the capitalists, the shipping merchants, the boot and shoe manufacturers, the iron masters, and others, they not only denied the right of the workers to organize while insisting that they themselves were entitled to combine, but they inveighed against the 10-hour demand as unreasonable conditions, which the folly and caprice of a few journeyman mechanics may dictate. A very large sum of money, says McNeil, was subscribed by the merchants to defeat the 10-hour movement. And as an evidence of the intense opposition of the workers' demands for a change from a 14 to a 10-hour day, McNeil quotes from a Boston newspaper of 1832. You think your life is tough today? Would you like to be working 14 hours a day for a buck and a quarter a week? Had this unlawful combination had for its object the enhancement of daily wages, it would have been left to its own care. But it now strikes the very nerve of industry and good morals. by dictating the hours of labor, abrogating the good old rule of our fathers. Going back and really looking at the founding fathers one time, the founding of this country. Who does run this country? For those of you that did take the time to take a look at that corporation nation, you've got a little bit of a heads up. Same kind of a heads up I'm getting from our good friend Bill, who sent me a copy of this book. Gustavus Myers lays it out right in front of our faces. We'll be right back.
Of the 3 million plus edible food plants that grow on Earth, no other single plant can compare with the nutritional value of the powder, seeds, and oil of the hemp plant. At hempusa.org, we ship worldwide these nutritional products with free shipping to the U.S. and Canada. At hempusa.org, we want to educate our listeners that edible hemp is not marijuana and is certified THC-free. Our powder is 50% protein and does not contain gluten. Gluten impairs the cells from absorbing nutrients. This nutrient-dense food can be stored up to 5 years when vacuum-packed and is priced affordably to be used as a storable food. HempUSA.org is a bulk shipper starting with 5 pounds and up. To allow this food to work for you, call 908-691-2608 or go to HempUSA.org and order today. The body will react and heal itself given the proper nutrition. This superfood will be your greatest asset. So try it today, store it today, and change your life. Call 908-691-2608 or order from hempusa.org.
Corporate media dominates the American opinion. Finding independent voices that counter this avalanche is becoming increasingly difficult. With the endless corruption running rampant throughout our government, independent voices are needed more than ever to battle the offenses against our freedoms and liberties. No one understands this concept better than you. Now it's up to you to do your part. The time has come for you to take action and begin broadcasting the truth to hundreds or thousands of people every month. Sound impossible? Quite the contrary. With pointed slogans from LibertyStickers.com, you can reach countless sleeping Americans unaware that they live in a real-life wonderland. LibertyStickers.com has a huge inventory of political bumper stickers and messages that reflect the truth about our government, our politicians, and the future of America. With so many in stock, there's one perfect for you. Visit us today at LibertyStickers.com. Again, that's LibertyStickers.com. Do your part. Your voice is important. Let it be heard.
A wealthy U.S. citizen is predicting that in 2011, we will witness the most important day in America in more than 50 years. He says it will change everything about our lives. The way you shop, travel, invest, educate your children, and even how you take care of your health and your family. You see, he predicted the collapse of GM, Fannie Mae, Freddie Mac, and America's biggest mall owner, General Growth Properties, a few years ago. In fact, Moronis called his work a dire prophecy. And it's a real eye-opener. I can't stress this enough. You should at least watch this free video online today. He explains everything you need to know, including simple steps you can take to protect yourself. You can find the video at www.endofamerica10.com. Although this video may be offensive to some audiences, it's worth checking out. Again, that's www.endofamerica10.com.
This is Become Vocal Local with your host, William Roberts.
And so once again, we look at this Gustavus Myers and his wonderful book here. It's the history of the great American fortunes. It was originally copyrighted in 1907. It's gone through a variety of updates. And I've got the 1937 edition open in front of me here from the Modern Library series. The Modern Library 1937 edition opened here. Sent to me by one of our listeners, Bill, over the weekend. I also received a couple of DVDs, or CDs, I'd say, audio CDs, that another one of our listeners, also with first name Bill, sent to me, where he's going in and taking, like, the History of Law series and breaking it all down and pulling out all of the commercials and things like that and stringing it together so that you can use it as a learning tool for yourself. Just pop it into the CD player when you're driving down the road. So we'll be looking forward to more of that. I look forward to taking the time and listening to his condensation. And certainly I think it would be really useful to be able to take these various archives and make the most use of them while we still have time to do so. And, of course, we have our show archives at show archive. And if you want a copy of it, just go show.archive@gmail.com, show.archive@gmail.com. And Fritz will be glad to send you out a whole year's worth of these broadcasts on one DVD disc. It's a data disc that you can put into your computer and play it. Maybe you've got a friend that can't afford internet, but that does have a home computer, and they can just listen to these broadcasts at their leisure that way. Anyway, we can get the word out. I appreciate all of our listeners' contributions and support of the broadcast. But this article, actually it's not an article, it's part of a much longer chapter in this book of some nearly 600 pages. Under a necessary contrast, the workers struggle for better conditions. Again, go back in and look at this quote from McNeil. Okay, this would be McNeil. And he continues this way. Had this unlawful combination had for its own object the enhancement of daily wages, it would have been left to its own care. But it now strikes the very nerve of industry and good morals by dictating the hours of labor, abrogating the good old rule of our fathers, and pointing out the most direct course to poverty. For to be idle, several of the most useful hours of the morning and the evening will surely lead to intemperance and ruin. That's right. If you're not working 10 hours or 14 hours a day for these capitalist bastards, you will surely lead to intemperance and ruin in your life. And then after much time passed, we went to the 8-hour day. But unfortunately, now we're on the other side of the coin, where none can find any work other than 32 hours a week, and none can be full-time employees. Everyone are forced into part-time employees. You know, you take 32 hours a week as a national model. What does that indicate to you? It tells me that there's an 8-hour shift that has been extracted from full-time employees. In order to employ the maximum number of people, the employers have gotten together craftily and cleverly and developed this 32-hour work week process where no one person can have a 40-hour week job. No, instead, what we do is for out of every 5 people, they all give up 1 day of their work week, and that means we can employ one more person in a part-time job in America. Isn't that handy? And of course, because for every job that's advertised, hundreds will oftentimes turn out, that means that we can go ahead and run the wages right down, and none will complain because no one would ever give their employer any guff lest they find themselves outside with resume in hand. Right? Pretty handy process, crippling the workforce in this country, turning us all into third world wage slaves. And wage slavery is what we're really looking at. Again, very, very interesting material in this book, exceedingly well documented, every single page almost, and with footnotes. And we're not just referencing obtuse books and whatnot. We're going right, Gustavus Myers is going right to the detail. He's getting the black and the white in his eyes. He's going to congressional records and legislative records to get this information. So here's just a little bit. We talk a lot about the Negro slavery, and certainly Chris Kemp is in his work exposing the Boule and their deleterious impact on our people, all right, and Negroes in this country, the losing of status, all right. This is important. In this article here about the census, it's a capital H Hispanic, all right. What's a Hispanic anyway? Is that a race? Is it race mixing? What is a Hispanic anyway? What is a Latino? Is that a race? I don't think so. There were Native Americans in that part of the world, but they were overrun. They were overrun by the voyageur coming out of Hispaniola, coming out of Spain. All right, Cristobal Colombo and all of his boys talk about some race mixing going on, and they create these Hispanics from Hispaniola. All right, and the Latinos, all right, mestizo, race mix themselves, all right, not of their own choice, by the, you know, basically threat of death as slaves, in other words. But continuing, this is again right out of Gustavus Myers' books. These were the laws in practically all of the states with and grand larceny were punishable with long terms ranging from 5 to 7 years. These were laws, again, These were the laws in practically all of the states with slight differences, but they applied to whites only. What are these laws? Well, he'd just gone through and he's recited some of the many laws that were out there on the books. For instance, those convicted for robbery usually received a life sentence. How do you like that? Knock over the AM, PM down at the corner, get a life sentence. They were considered lucky if they got off with 5 years. The ordinary sentence for burglary was the same, life sentence. Or maybe if you were lucky, 5 years. All right, burglary. Forgery and grand larceny were punishable with long terms ranging from 5 to 7 years. But they applied to whites only. That's lowercase w, white, by the way. All right? Again, this book was originally copyrighted in 1907. The capital N, Negro slave, criminal, had a superior standing in law. The superior standing in law. All right? This is prior to Title 42, USC, Title 42, 1981. This is prior to that equal rights thing, all right? That brought us all down into the same wage pool. They had a different standing in law for the simple reason that while the whites were free labor, quote-unquote he uses, free labor, capital N, Negroes, that's lowercase whites, free labor, capital N, Negroes, were property. And, of course, it did not pay to send slaves to prison. In Maryland and both most southern states where the slaveholders were both makers and executors of the law, the slaves had no need to fear prison. Quote, the slaves, as we have seen before, are not subject to the penal code of the whites. You got that with the 42 U.S.C. 1981, where you're subject to the same penalties, taxes, and exactions, and none other. You know, that's what you got there. It was a change in status. The slaves, as we have seen before, are not subject to the penal code of the white. They are hardly ever sent to prison. Slaves who commit grave crimes are hung. Those who commit heinous crimes, not punishable death, are sold out of the state. In selling him, care is taken that his character and former life are not known because it would lessen his price. Considered property, like a good horse. Well, we'll pick that up right after this. Stay tuned.
The Oracle Broadcasting Radio Network is on a mission to bring you the best in cutting-edge talk radio. Oracle Broadcasting is a true beacon of free speech, uncensored news, and relevant information that depends on the support of listeners just like you. You can help us expand our reach and inform the masses. Promote the network by clicking the socialize link on the left-hand side of the OracleBroadcasting.com website. Using the simple tools provided, it is easy to spread the word about Oracle Broadcasting on social networking websites, blogs, news feeds, and many other ways with just one click. You can also help by becoming an Oracle Broadcasting member today. For just $5 a month, you get access to the member stream that allows you to listen to all of the great shows from Oracle Broadcasting in 128K stereo CD audio quality. To find out more, go to OracleBroadcasting.com. And thank you for listening to the Oracle Broadcasting Radio Network.
Hi, I'm here talking with Don Wiskin of HeartDrop.com. I understand that you changed the name of your product, Don.
Yes, we did. It's now Extendabyte, meaning to extend your life.
Wow, extend your life. Everybody wants to extend their life. How's it made, Don?
Well, Extendabyte is made from herbs gathered from many different parts of the world. We chose 7 of the heart and health-related herbs known to improve your health.
Your heart drops have always kept me from feeling sick or run down, Don. Will Extendabyte continue to do the same thing for me?
Yes, it will. All we changed was the name. I'm here because at 42 I had a heart attack and the garlic cayenne drops gave me back my life.
We have been talking with Don Wiskin about his exciting new product called Extendabyte. To get your Extendabyte, call 1-877-928-8822. That's 1-877-928-8822. Or visit his website at heartdrop.com. That's H-E-A-R-T-D-R-O-P.com.
TeamSpeak.cc is proud to announce that TeamSpeak 3 is now available. TeamSpeak is now more flexible, powerful, and scalable. TeamSpeak software enables people to speak with one another and transfer files over the Internet. TeamSpeak represents years of engineering experience and is available for Windows, Mac, and Linux. TeamSpeak.cc has the best integrated solutions for online gamers, virtual worlds, social networks, education, and any environment where up to thousands of users require crystal clear voice communications. Users can finally say goodbye to echo, feedback, and background fuzzy noises as the evolution in quality voice communication has arrived. Go to TeamSpeak.cc to find out more. Servers now available and starting at just $2 a month. Remember, that website is TeamSpeak.cc, your total voiceover IP solutions provider. TeamSpeak.cc.
Live Free or Die Radio with Lee Rogers, the most dangerous talk show in America.
Weekdays at 9 p.m. Central on Oracle Broadcasting.
Now, of course, while this these various episodes are going on in the history of the United States, you know, one of the histories that we rarely ever get a chance to visit are the Native Americans, if you will, the Aboriginals. They call them the Indians, misnomer there. But boy, I'll tell you, the debauchery and the fraud and the death of them is enough to make your hair raise. But we don't have time for that today. We'll get into that, though. We'll go into the Astor Company, Fur Company, the North American Fur Company, and those in the future broadcast. Today I'm just covering a couple of simple little things to follow on from this article in regards to this miscegenation that the United Nations Census is trying to, elude. All right? There's more to this story than meets the eye, however. Again, at the same time, while enriching them, we're jumping to a new part of the book, at the same time, while enriching themselves in every direction by transferring through the powers of government, public resources to themselves, the capitalists declared it to be settled principle that government should not be paternalistic. They asserted that it was not only not a proper governmental function to look out for the interests of the masses of the world, workers, but they went even further. Now, again, go up and look at that video presentation, 20-part series, The Corporation Nation, and you're going to see a better look at how our system is run there than you're going to find in many other places. But continuing, again, the government doesn't have to look out for, they don't want it, the capitalists didn't want to have a paternalistic attitude towards the workers. No, let them shift for themselves, the damn fools, right? Anyway, with the precedence of the English laws as an example, and again, we're coming into the time of philosophical radicalism, Jeremy Bentham, John Austin, the beginning of legal positivism coming into the United States, into our legal system, but it hadn't quite got here yet. We continue along here. He could overwork his employees, pay them the lowest of possible wages, kill them off by forcing them to work under conditions in which the sacrifice of human life held subordinate to the gathering of profit, or by forcing them to live or work in disease-breeding places. All right, and this was not what was being done to the Negro slave. Again, they were property. They were treated better. All right, these are just the free whites. And you take a look at the numbers involved. Wow. Again, a lot of the agitation that Martin Luther King and the others were doing, that was building that smokescreen, just like the Holocaust, so that we didn't look beyond the Holocaust and we didn't look at the Ukrainian genocides during the war of extermination visited upon the people of Eastern Europe by Josef Stalin, 1941 to 45. We don't look to China. We don't look to the betrayal of Chiang Kai-shek to allow Mao Zedong to come to power. And any of that, we don't look there, no. We put up these convenient smoke screens. All right? Negro slavery, unfortunately, appears to have been one of those smoke screens. Yes, a deplorable situation nonetheless, but there was something far more drastic happening. Let's find out more about it. The law which was the distinct expression of the interests of the capitalists, upheld his right to do all this. Yet if the workers protested, if they sought to improve their condition by joining in that community of action called a strike, the same code of laws adjudged them criminals. At once the whole power of law, with its police, its military, and judges, descended upon them and either drove them back to their tasks or consigned them to prison. The conditions under which the capitalists made their profits and under which the workers had to toil were very oppressive to the workers. The hours of work at that period were from sunrise to sunset. Usually this rule, especially in the seasons of long days, required 12 and very often 14 and 16 hours a day. Yet the so-called statesmen and pretentious cultured and refined classes of the day saw nothing wrong in this exploitation. The reasons were obvious. Their power, their elegant mansions, their skills and their silks and satins, their equipage and superior opportunities for enjoyment, all were based upon the sweat and blood of these so-called free white men, women, and children of the North, who toiled even harder than the chattel black slave of the South, and who did not receive a fraction of the care and thought bestowed as a corollary of property upon the black slave. Already the capitalists of the North had a slavery system in force far more effective than the chattel system of the South, a system of the economic superiority of which was destined to overthrow yet even that of black slavery. In other words, it was just a matter of time. The bomb was ticking for the Negroes in the South as well. Most historians, taking their cue from the intellectual subserviency demanded of them by the ruling property classes, delight in picturing those times as the good old times, when the capitalists were benevolent and amiable, and the workers lived in peace and plenty. I just bring that out to you, to your attention. Here's a footnote to support this. The slum population of the United States increased rapidly. Quote, according to the best estimates, close quote, stated the quote, seventh special report of the U.S. Commissioner of Labor, the slums of great cities, 1894, quote, the total slum population of Baltimore is about 25,000, of Chicago, 162,000, of New York, 360,000, of Philadelphia, 35,000. The figures of the average weekly wages per individual of the slum population revealed why there was so large a slum population. In Baltimore, these wages were $8.65 per week. In Chicago, $9.88. In New York, $8.36. In Philadelphia, $8.68 per week. Working sometimes 14, 16, or 18, or from sunrise to sunset per week. In his Modern Social Conditions, a book, Bailey, basing his statements upon the U.S. Census of 1900, now we've just had our U.S. Census of 2010, but basing his statements upon the U.S. Census of 1900, asserted that 109,750 persons had died from tuberculosis in the United States in 1900. Quote, plenty of fresh air and sunlight, he wrote, will kill the germs. And yet it is estimated that there are 8 millions of people who will eventually die from consumption unless strenuous efforts are made to combat the disease. Working in a confined atmosphere and living in a damp, poorly ventilated room, the dwellers in the tenements of the great cities fall easy victims to the great white plague, tuberculosis. Millions and millions dying. These slum areas have remained down to the present writing, although in gradually diminishing extent. One reason for the decline was the stopping by the laws of 1921, 1924, and 1927 of unrestricted immigration to America. For it had been the unlimited inflow of immigrants, which to a large degree had supplied the slum population. And we have the borders wide open today, my friends. Wide open. The unlimited inflow of immigrants, which to a large degree had supplied the slum population. A third influencing reason was the action taken by the combined action of federal, state, and municipal governments. They're all in league, you know. Especially in 1933 and 1936, to provide low-cost, decent apartments in sections not hard to reach from points of work. Ever been in those five-story walk-ups in New York? I have. quite an interesting place and a way to live, with a toity down the hallway. And you just pull out the lid of the kitchen sink, and you find that the bathtub is right underneath there. Only one room. So everybody gets to bathe in front of everybody else, unless you've got a curtain hung up. Really neat. Handy, though, isn't it? Hope nobody needs a drink of water while you're in the bathtub. Get done with your bath, you just push the kitchen counter back on top of the bathtub. Very interesting. Cabernet. Continuing. Well, we'll have to pick up the continuation right after these words from our sponsor. Stay tuned.
Looking for great talk radio? You found it. This is the Oracle Broadcasting Network.
Heirloom Organics non-hybrid seeds are the long-term survival food solution. Heirloom Organics is the largest provider of 100% non-hybrid seeds prepared for long-term storage. Starting at just $99, the complete survival seed vault contains a one-year food garden for two people. The family, homestead, and farm packs provide for up to 12 people. Go to GetSeedsNow.com. Learn how you can protect your family and community by providing everlasting food supply from your own non-hybrid seeds at GetSeedsNow.com. Or call 877-980-SEED. Remember, GetSeedsNow.com. Or call 877-980-SEED. Remember, GetSeedsNow.com. To see our extensive line of specialty seed packs, which include kitchen herbs, medicinal herbs, herbal tea, fruit, tomato, chili peppers, and many others, go to GetSeedsNow.com. Or call 877-980-SEED. Remember, GetSeedsNow.com.
Ever wish that you could listen to Oracle Broadcasting away from your computer? Now you can, with Oracle Broadcasting's new Listen by Phone feature. This free service turns any phone into an Oracle Broadcasting receiver. Simply call 704-772-7627. At the prompt, press the Oracle station code 10007. That's 704-772-7627, then 10007. Normal long distance and cell phone rates apply. Stay connected with OracleBroadcasting.com.
Imagine no longer being tied down to your computer, but having the freedom to take live talk radio with you anywhere you go. TalkStream Live introduces our first ever iPhone application. The talk shows you follow now follow you, and your iPhone is now the fastest and easiest way to stay connected to the best talk radio on the internet. Let TalkStream Live transform the way you listen to radio. Listen to live talk shows 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. Mobile talk radio from TalkStream Live, now available in the iTunes App Store.
We all know that Berkey Water Purification Systems are the most trusted name in water filtration. As an authorized Berkey dealer for over 5 years and serving thousands of satisfied customers, the Berkey Guy offers amazing specials for Berkey Water Filtration Systems. The Berkey Light Systems include a set of self-sterilizing and recleanable black purification elements that purify water by removing chlorine, pathogenic bacteria, cysts, and parasites to non-detectable levels and remove harmful chemicals such as herbicides and pesticides. Order the Berkey Light System today, complete with two black Berkey elements for only $209, and the Berkey Guy will include three Sport Berkey water bottles and ship everything to you free of charge. That's right, three Sport Berkey water bottles and free shipping. An $87 value, yours free. Call the Berkey Guy at 1-877-886-3653. That's 1-877-886-3653. Or order online at GoBerkey.com. That's GoBerkey.com today.
This is Become Vocal Local with your host, William Roberts.
And back once again, diving into this book a little deeper. It's such an excellent research material. I recommend it highly to everyone to get a copy of this book, even if you have to buy it from an antiquarian, a bookseller. I'm trying to finish up my little Hershey's Kiss here. Really enjoy these dark chocolate Hershey's Kisses. They're just delightful. Anyway, I apologize. It kind of popped into my mouth at the wrong moment. Anyway, half of the American farms, and another a little bit more here, half of the American farms operated by tenants, all right, tenants. In its final report in 1916, the U.S. Commission on Industrial Relations complained that no nationwide investigation of the condition of tenant farmers had ever been made. Now, in this book, we go through this section on the opening or the seizure of the public domain, and you look at the graft, and you look at the corruption, and you look at the combinations that worked against the people of this country, and how some of these batard capitalists, if you will, and I'm not going to beat up on them too hard, but having spent the last many days now with my nose in this book, and of course, yes, if you go up on Wikipedia, you'll see for yourself, Gustavus Myers in his early years was a populist, and then he became a socialist, and it wasn't until the rise of the National Socialist Workers Party in Germany that he turned away from socialism. I don't know whether he ever gave it up or not, but he was still, at this time of this writing, he was still steeped in the Marxian, you know, Communist Manifesto, the proletariat against the bourgeoisie. And when we look at the capitalist, you know, we need to understand we are mistaken when we think of ourselves, you know, as middle class. Some of us are, but few. The capitalist middle class, if you will, the middle class of America, are the entrepreneurs. They're the people that have jobs, you know, where they talk about small businesses, where they can have up to 50 or more employees and so on and so forth. And the people that are drawing a paycheck, you're in the wage pool, all right? You're the proletariat. Don't forget that. Don't consider yourself to be middle class unless you truly are. And if you're a capitalist, you'll be most unusual listening to this broadcast, but we welcome you here for the truth nonetheless. But back into this final report, again, in its final report in 1916, the U.S. Commission on Industrial Relations complained that no nationwide investigation of the conditions of the tenant farmer had ever been made. This was a inconvenient truth they didn't want to discuss. But the commission itself made a thorough and conclusive investigation of such farmers in Texas. And what we'll find back here in the 1900s early and in the late 1800s is that there were still legislative committees that would form that would actually do a halfway decent job of investigation. Of course, and unfortunately, so many of them have been bought off and bribery was the rule of the day. And so many of them were lawyers that had been, you know, pushed into positions and bought into positions that you really had to read these reports with even more care than we have to do today. But continuing, the commission itself made a thorough and conclusive investigation of such farmers in Texas, quote, badly housed, ill-nourished, uneducated, and hopeless. These tenants continue year after year to eke out a bare living, moving frequently from one farm to another in the hope that something will turn up. The most alarming fact in American agriculture, the commission declared, was the rapid growth of tenancy. We talk about new feudalism, global serfdom. Well, it seems to be a repeating phenomenon. About every 100 years we get thrown back into serfdom. In the 1910, there were 37 tenant-operated farms in each 100 farms in the United States, over a third, were tenant-operated. The commission also related how agricultural laborers were paid 80 cents a day on the huge estates throughout the western rural regions. And if you see the size of some of these huge estates, it'll blow your mind, in the millions of acres, basically stolen out of the public domain by very careful, crafty men with good lawyers. The percentage of farm tenancy The commission also related how agricultural laborers were paid 80 cents a day on the huge estates throughout the western rural regions, estates which, as a rule, were, quote, the property of absentee landlords who are, for the most part, millionaires resident in the eastern states or in Europe. Warren Buffett, George Soros, Maurice Strong. The percentage of farm tenancy in the United States rose to 38.1% in 1920 and to 38.6% in 1925. Of a total number of 6,448,343 farms in 1920, there were 2,454,804 operated by tenants. Subsistence, day-to-day, 80 cents a day paid wages. In his testimony before a U.S. Senate committee recently, Henry A. Wallace, Secretary of Agriculture, gave this brief but effective resume, quote, "Only two generations ago, we were at the height of the homestead movement, which had as one of its fundamental aims the creation of an agriculture made up of predominantly small farm operators. Today, we find that half of our farmlands are operated by tenants, and nearly that large a percentage of our farmers rent all the land that they farm." Who bought up all these homesteads? Who were the settlers? Who were really on those wagons rushing out to grab some land in the great Western land grab? Proxies? We talked a little bit about that on Friday. Maybe it was on Thursday. Considering the cotton states in particular, we find that of every 100 cotton farms in 1930, tenants operated 60. And the composition of the tenancy families included millions of whites as well as a far lesser number of Negroes, who in 1930 were not quite 40% of the total. In the decade from 1920 to 1930 alone, white tenants in the cotton states increased by 200,000 families. During the same time, Negro tenancy somewhat decreased because of the considerable migration to the cities. Conditions among these tenants were so acute as to drive some of them to organize the Southern Tenant Farmers Union, and in 1935 and 1936 we read of reprisals against organizers and members, evictions and floggings, and meetings violently broke up by plantation owners and their masked hirelings. Rest assured, this is not all, you know, white on black stuff here. Lots of white on white stuff going on in this story as well. This is the unwritten history of America. This from a section on the onrush of the Vanderbilt fortune. And he goes through, you know, one of these greats at a time, the great American fortunes, the Astors and so on, all the way through, you know, Carnegie's, Vanderbilt's, Gould's, and others. Very, very interesting book. But I'll just jump in right in here. And this is the answer found. The steamboat and steamship owners were not long and lost in their perplexity. What happened? Well, the steam vessel, the steamboat, especially as we approach the Civil War years, the steamboat was kind of going out of favor. Railroads were in vogue. It was the big deal. It was a whole gob and a bunch more money to be made in railroads because of the land associated with it than it was to be made in the shipping trade, even though these early steam vessels, especially those that crossed the Atlantic, were raking in the big ones right out of the government treasury just to carry mail, making millions of dollars a year annually just to carry the mail. And then they got to pocket all of the postage stamps, too. The cost of sending a piece of mail to Europe was exceedingly high. But anyway, the steamboat and steamship owners were not long lost in their perplexity. Since they could no longer use their ships or make profit on ocean routes, why not palm off their vessels upon the government? This is, again, 1850s, coming into the Civil War. When they declared that when they get ramping up for the war, they were trying to get together all the boats. And so what happened is that all of the people that had been involved in the coasting trade, because Vanderbilt was the purchasing agent through his help, Southard, through his help, they were buying vessels so that they could transport troops and goods and supplies. All right. Now, what a mill this was for graft. I mean, it makes the story of Bernard Baruch, you know, that he looked like a piker. These guys were really the masters of it. And they were selling junk, junk vessels, boats that would fall apart. They're just completely rotten. You can imagine, you know, somebody was just knocking together a steamboat and then ripping people off going between Staten Island and New Jersey or something. All right. Going from New York to New Jersey. And they were just ripping people off big time. And Vanderbilt's made plenty doing that. But continuing, the steamboat and the steamship owners were not long lost in their perplexity. Since they could no longer use their ships or make profits on the ocean routes, why not palm off their vessels upon the government? A highly favorable time it was. The government, under the imperative necessity of at once raising and transporting a huge army, needed vessels badly. As for the other question, momentarily agitating the capitalists as to what new line of activity they could substitute for their own extinguished business, well, we'll pick it right up there, right after this.
Of the 3 million-plus edible food plants that grow on Earth, no other single plant can compare with the nutritional value of the powder, seeds, and oil of the hemp plant. At HempUSA.org, we ship worldwide these nutritional products with free shipping to the U.S. and Canada. At HempUSA.org, we want to educate our listeners that edible hemp is not marijuana and is certified THC-free. Our powder is 50% protein and does not contain gluten. Gluten impairs the cells from absorbing nutrients. This nutrient-dense food can be stored up to 5 years when vacuum-packed and is priced affordably to be used as a storable food. HempUSA.org is a bulk shipper starting with 5 pounds and up. To allow this food to work for you, call 908-691-2608 or go to HempUSA.org and order today. The body will react and heal itself given the proper nutrition. This superfood will be your greatest asset. So try it today, store it today, and change your life. Call 908-691-2608 or order from HempUSA.org.
Corporate media dominates the American opinion. Finding independent voices that counter this avalanche is becoming increasingly difficult. With the endless corruption running rampant throughout our government, independent voices are needed more than ever to battle the offensive against our freedoms and liberties. No one understands this concept better than you. Now it's up to you to do your part. The time has come for you to take action and begin broadcasting the truth to hundreds or thousands of people every month. Sound impossible? Quite the contrary. With pointed slogans from LibertyStickers.com, you can reach countless sleeping Americans unaware that they live in a real-life wonderland. LibertyStickers.com has a huge inventory of political bumper stickers and messages that reflect the truth about our government, our politicians, and the future of America. With so many in stock, there's one perfect for you. Visit us today at LibertyStickers.com. Again, that's LibertyStickers.com. Do your part. Your voice is important. Let it be heard.
A wealthy U.S. citizen is predicting that in 2011, we will witness the most important day in America in more than 50 years. He says it will change everything about our lives. The way you shop, travel, invest, educate your children, and even how you take care of your health and your family. You see, he predicted the collapse of GM, Fannie Mae, Freddie Mac, and America's biggest mall owner, General Growth Properties, a few years ago. In fact, Moronis called his work a dire prophecy. And it's a real eye-opener. I can't stress this enough. You should at least watch this free video online today. He explains everything you need to know, including simple steps you can take to protect yourself. You can find the video at www.endofamerica10.com. Although this video may be offensive to some audiences, it's worth checking out. Again, that's www.endofamerica10.com.
Radio X, with your host, Jimmy X.
Sundays at noon on the Oracle Broadcasting Network.
And so again, we're now looking at the Vanderbilt fortune and the time of the Civil War coming on us in Addison, this particular study. Of course, we can go right back from this book by Gustavus Myers right into the Encyclopedia of the Social Sciences, pick up the lengthy article published in virtually the same time period on interstate commerce and the Interstate Commerce Commission, and just fill in the blanks. All right. And this encyclopedia is probably one of the best, most honest ones that I've got in my library, too, by the way. And it doesn't necessarily take it quite to the level that Gustavus Myers is, but it points to the same sort of things. Here, just a brief little quip. It says, the legislative legerdemain promoted by this distinction reached its climax in 1908, again the time of this writing, in a temerarious effort by Texas to distinguish between an invalid tax of 1% on the gross receipts of railroad companies and a tax on railroad companies equal to 1% of their gross receipts. The court shrank from carrying on its formal doctrine to the ruthless logic of formalism. The first limits upon an old doctrine are apt to mark the beginning of a long retreat. In an opinion which presaged a new approach to the problem, Justice Oliver Wendell Holmes warned that, quote, neither the state courts nor the legislatures, by giving the tax a particular name or by the use of some form of words, can take away our duty to consider its nature and effect. All right. And so what that basically points to is how deeply corrupted the courts had become, the judges had become, how bought off the state legislatures and the federal government had become at this time where we find this. Again, the steamship's not doing too good. As for the other question, momentarily agitating the capitalists as to what new line of activity they should could substitute for their own extinguished business, in other words, getting out of the steamship business. Vanderbilt soon showed how railroads could be made to yield a far greater fortune than commerce. It's always looking for the fortune. All right? That's all they're really looking for, is how you make more money. Money, 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 money. Free money. Stolen from you and from me and our ancestors. The titanic conflict opening between the North and the South found the federal government wholly unprepared. True. In granting the mail subsidies, spoke about that, which established the ocean steamship companies. See, it was the mail subsidies, mailing, postage, established the ocean steamship companies, and which actually furnished the capital for many of them. Congress had inserted some fine provisions that these subsidized ships should be so built as to be war steamers of the first class, available in the time of war. All right? So Congress was subsidizing these steamships, but they didn't get the ones that they wanted. They were thinking that they were going to get ships that were built so that it would be of steamers of first class available in the time of war. But these provisos were a mere vapor. Right? Mere vapor. Just words on a piece of paper. Obamacare. It's Obamacare. Just as the Harris and the SLU lines had obtained annual mail subsidy payments of $900,000. Now go back in time. A man would work for an entire week at $8.95 for the entire week, or a man would work in the fields at 80 cents a day. And these guys, these corporatists, corporate fascists, working in tandem with the government, would pick up a subsidy of $900,000 a year to carry mail. And it was so much more than they needed to carry the mail that they were actually able to build their steamships on the slosh off the top. All right. The report of a board of naval experts submitted to the Committee of Ways and Means of the U.S. House of Representatives had showed that the Collins steamers had not been built according to the contract, but they would crumble to pieces under the fire of their own batteries, and that a single hostile gun would blow them to splinters. Yet they had been accepted by the Navy Department. Having the military stand down on 9/11? Not a problem. In times of peace, the commercial interests had practiced the grossest frauds in corruptly imposing upon the government every form of shoddy supplies. Hear about the gas masks that don't work, the bulletproof vests that don't there, the Humvees that have floorboards made out of aluminum foil, etc. The result, well, the Civil War put their pretensions of patriotism to the test. If ever a war took place in which government and people had to strain every nerve and resource to carry on a great conflict, it was the Civil War. The result of that war, now notice, the result of that war was only to exchange chattel slavery for the more extensive system of economic slavery. How many times you've heard on Patriot Radio? The Civil War did not, you know, free the slaves. It made slaves of all of us. All right? Now here, written virtually 100 years ago, right off the pen of Gustavus Myers, a second witness. I'll say it again. The result of that war was only, and he's only looking back 40 years, folks. He's only looking back 40 years, common knowledge on the street of his day. The result of that war was only to exchange chattel slavery for the more extensive system of economic slavery. But the people of that time did not see this clearly. The Northern soldiers thought they were fighting for the noblest of all causes, and the mass of the people behind them were ready to make every sacrifice to win a momentous struggle, the direct issue of which was the overthrow of the retention of black slavery, which, as we've mentioned before, had already gone out in England and places elsewhere, and it was on its way out here as well. How did the capitalist class act toward the government, or rather, let us say, toward the army and the navy, so heroically pouring out their blood in battles and hazarding life in camps and hospitals and stockades and military prisons, the author writes. And he continues, and he talks about the indiscriminate plundering during the war. The capitalists abundantly proved their devout patriotism by making tremendous fortunes from the necessities of that great crisis. Think about Michael Chertoff and his backscatter machines. Think about Halliburton, Kellogg Brown and Root, and all the rest of them. All of the contractors in Iraq and Afghanistan, oh, patriotic, aren't they? Wave your flags, America. Bastards are just raking it in. They unloaded upon the government at 10 times the cost of manufacturer quantities of munitions of war, munitions so frequently worthless that they often had to be thrown away after their purchase. And we've got a New START treaty, right? Strategic Arms Reduction Treaty. Nuclear warheads that fall apart when you touch them. Huh? Is that coming? They supplied shoddy uniforms and blankets and wretched shoes. Food of such a deleterious quality that it was a fertile cause of epidemics of fevers and of numerous deaths. They impressed by force of corruption, worn out, disintegrating hulks into service as army and navy transports. Not a single possibility of profits was there in this most glaring of frauds not committed. By a series of disingenuous measures, the banks plundered the treasury and the people and caused their banknotes to be exempt from taxation. The merchants defrauded the government out of millions of dollars by bribing custom house officers to connive at undervaluing all imports. The custom house frauds were so notorious and goaded on by public opinion that the House of Representatives finally was forced to appoint an investigative committee. The chairman of this committee, Representative C.H. Van Wyck of New York, after summarizing the testimony in a speech in the House on February the 23rd of 1863, passionately exclaimed, and here's the quote, "The starving, penniless man who steals a loaf of bread to save a life, you incarcerate in a dungeon. But the army of magnificent highwaymen who steal by tens of thousands from the people go unwhipped of justice and are suffered to enjoy the fruits of their crimes." It has been so with former administrations. Unfortunately, it is so with this. That written in 1863, that could be written today. Lloyd Blankfein, Cohen, Morgan Chase, what is it, Morgan Stanley, Goldman Sachs. I read this book and I'm furious, you know. It enrages me to think of this ongoing sore, this ongoing fraud. And this stuff doesn't make it into wide circulation. These books, his writings by Myers were suppressed. He couldn't get it published anyplace. Finally, it got published. And then it just was like, you know, you could never get on the New York bestsellers list. And this information is out there. How much more is out there? But what's really good about this particular book, why I really find it so enjoyable, is because every place that I've taken time to go and follow out his leads, his citations, they're pay dirt. Time after time after time. He's not making this stuff up whole cloth. This isn't a third-party story. Certainly, certainly not that. Well, I'll be back again tomorrow. Hope you enjoyed today's presentation. Until the next time, good day.
Taking it back, one precinct, one county, one state at a time. You've been listening to Become Vocal Local.
The Oracle Broadcasting Radio Network is on a mission to bring you the best in cutting-edge talk radio. Oracle Broadcasting is a true beacon of free speech, uncensored news, and relevant information that depends on the support of listeners just like you. You can help us expand our reach and inform the masses. Promote the network by clicking the socialize link on the left-hand side of the OracleBroadcasting.com website. Using the simple tools provided, it is easy to spread the word about Oracle Broadcasting on social networking websites, blogs, news feeds, and many other ways with just one click. You can also help by becoming an Oracle Broadcasting member today. For just $5 a month, you get access to the member stream that allows you to listen to all of the great shows from Oracle Broadcasting in 128K stereo CD audio quality. To find out more, go to OracleBroadcasting.com. And thank you for listening to the Oracle Broadcasting Radio Network.
Hi, I'm here talking with Don Wiskin of HeartDrop.com. I understand that you changed the name of your product, Don.
Yes, we did. It's now Extendabyte, meaning to extend your life.
Wow, extend your life. Everybody wants to extend their life. How's it made, Don?
Well, Extendabyte is made from herbs gathered from many different parts of the world. We chose 7 of the heart and health-related herbs known to improve your health.
Your heart drops have always kept me from feeling sick or run down, Don. Will Extendabyte continue to do the same thing for me?
Yes, it will. All we changed was the name. I'm here because at 42 I had a heart attack and the garlic cayenne drops gave me back my life.
We have been talking with Don Wiskin about his exciting new product called Extendabyte. To get your Extendabyte, call 1-877-928-8822. That's 1-877-928-8822. Or visit his website at heartdrop.com. That's heartdrop.com.
You are listening to the Oracle Broadcasting Network, the home of cutting-edge talk radio.
The Oracle Broadcasting